This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Why We Need Each Other.
You see, in heaven, when you get there, everybody's going to work, but we'll all each just have a little piece so you'll never get tired. You're not going to be overworked or overloaded in heaven because God will give you just a little piece to do, but everybody will do their part and it'll all get done. What happens here on earth, though, is you're worn out. You're exhausted. You're burnt out. Some of you came to church exhausted. Why? Because you're trying to do it all, and you're trying to do it all by yourself. And that's why you're worn out. God never meant for you to go through life walking alone or working alone. You need to be in a relationship with others who help you get done what you need to do. Otherwise, you're going to be worn out and fatigued all the time. Now, God tells us in the Bible why we're supposed to work together. Look at the next verse. In Ecclesiastes 4, two people are better than one because they get more done. Read it with me, would you? By working together. They get more done by working together. Now, everybody knows this. You always get more done as a team than you do as an individual. It's also a whole lot more fun. It's also less tiring. And you learn to cooperate together. There's all kinds of benefits to working together. You know, in the last 12 days, I was on a speaking tour on the East Coast, and I spoke in 11 different cities in 12 days. And it was up and down in a plane for the last 12 days. We started a week ago on Friday to Washington, D.C., flew to Washington, D.C., where I spoke at the Pentagon. Spoke twice there, once to a general's Bible study, had 67 generals in it, and then another to the employees of the Pentagon. Then we left the Pentagon, and we flew to Philadelphia, where we had meetings there. We went from Philadelphia to West Point, where I spoke to the 4,000 cadets at West Point. And then we went from West Point to New York City, and place after place. Well, I would have been worn out if I hadn't taken a team with me. We then went to Chattanooga, where 170 churches in that one city did 40 days of purpose altogether. And it was citywide, and had 50,000 people going through it. And they put up billboards all over town that said, "Got Purpose?" And then we went to Nashville, and I spoke to about 6,000 mothers of preschoolers there, and then Liberty University, and then I spoke at Annapolis, the Naval Academy, and then stopped by Billy Graham's house, said hi, and came home. Now, I would have been worn out. I wouldn't even been here this weekend if I had that had all depended on me. That's just overwhelming, that kind of a schedule. But I took a team with me. And every time that plane hit the ground, each of us knew what we had to do. Nobody is good at everything. Would you agree with that? Nobody's good at everything. And so we need each other. And so you put people around you who compensate for your weaknesses, who are strong in areas you're not good at. And I came home from that. I wasn't tired. I went to bed, got up the next morning at 6:30, and went back to work. Why? Because when you share together, it lightens the load. You know, when we were at West Point, they showed us a system that feeds 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes. Imagine that. And they do it three times a day. Feed 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes. How in the world they do that? Everybody has a role with butter. Just seeing if you're listening. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a part, and it's all like clockwork. Bam, bam, bam. Everybody has a part, and if you do little bits a piece, it can all get done. The reason why you're exhausted, you're trying to do it all yourself. You know, some people fall for what I call the Mother Teresa syndrome. And that's the idea that the lone person goes out to change the world all by themselves. That doesn't, even Mother Teresa didn't do that. She had an army of people helping her. You've heard me say before, snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them stick together, they can stop traffic. Now, individually, I can't make that big a difference in the world. And individually, you can't make that big difference in the world. But together, we, you know, in this church, we got 82,000 snowflakes. That's a lot of snow. And that can make some significant difference. Together, we can make a difference if everybody does just a little. A little. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to fatigue. If you're tired, it's because you don't have the relationships built in to support you that you need in what God has called you to do. Have you ever watched on TV or maybe the movie Witness where Amish build a barn together? They do it in a day. It's amazing. I mean, just, you know, the whole community shows up, and where there was nothing at the end of the day, there's a barn standing. Why? Everybody has a little part to play. Now, the Bible says this in Galatians 6:10. Every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. That's, I need others to work with me. Starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. What's the community of faith? It's our church family. I need people to walk with me through life, and I need people to work with me through life. But I also, number three, I need others to watch out for me in life, to watch out for me. I'm talking about people who defend me, who stand up for me, who will protect me, who will help me keep staying on track, who will, you know, watch my backside, who will warn me. We all need this because we all have blind spots. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. If you want a counterculture verse, that's it. Because in America, the general idea is it's all about me. It's all about my needs, my interests, my wants, my desires, my ambitions. The rest of you, forget you. I live for myself. Forget everybody else. This one says, don't just look out for your own interests. Look out for others too. Have you ever seen these neighborhood watch signs? Sometimes you see them out in an area. That's a sign of community. It says, we watch out for each other here. We're looking out for each other. My guess is if you went on vacation this summer and you were gone for a week or maybe 2 weeks, you probably told your neighbor you were going to be gone. He said, you know, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. Would you kind of keep an eye out on my house? Would you kind of watch out, look out for my stuff? Because we all want our stuff looked out for. And that's a good thing, to have your stuff looked after, watched out for. But my question is not, is anybody watching out for your stuff? Is anybody watching out for your soul? Because your soul is a whole lot more important than your stuff. Is there anybody in your life who helps you stay on track spiritually? Is there anybody who loves you enough to say, I'm not going to let you get discouraged. I'm not going to let you drop out. I'm not going to let you, you know, get tired. I'm here with you. Let me support you. And who encourages you in your spiritual life? If you don't have anybody like that, that's sad. See, the fact is we all have blind spots, things we can't see. You know, I grew this beard this summer. And then my wife, Kay, said, you know, honey, if you're going to have the beard, you got to get rid of the flat hair thing, okay? So she came up with this little spiky do here, you know, like, you know? The only problem is I can't see the back, and it sticks up straight on the back, okay? So I don't know if it's sticking up or not. Is it right now? I don't know, okay? I mean, so I'm not making this up. Last night, before, and again this morning, I'm getting ready to come to church. I'm starting to walk out the door. Kay goes, stop. I thought, what did I do? She's fixing those little... You know, doing the little thing. I would have never known that. You know, you get a tail light out. You're never going to know it. Somebody's got to look out for you. Somebody's got to say, you got a tail light out. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. We should care about each other. We're family. We're in God's family. And as brothers and sisters, I should defend you and you should defend me. And I help you stay on track and you help me stay on track. Now it says, keep being concerned. Circle the word keep. That means not just once. You're vigilant. In a war, everybody has to take time on sentry duty. While everybody else is sleeping, somebody stays awake to make sure the enemy isn't crashing in. Now, since 9/11, we've all been a whole lot more vigilant for each other with terrorism and things like that. But did you know that you have an enemy far more destructive than terrorists? Oh, yeah. You have a personal enemy, and he hates your guts, and he wants to defeat you. His name is Satan. And Satan wants to mess up your life. Satan wants to bring problems in your life. Satan wants to ruin your relationships. He wants to hurt you as bad as he can. Now, why would he do that? Because he can't hurt God. See, Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to hurt God, but he can't. When you can't hurt somebody, what do? You go after their children. If you couldn't get to me, you'd go after my wife or my kids. Satan can't hurt God. So what does he do? He tries to hurt God's children. And he doesn't care what it'll take, how badly you get hurt. He wants to mess you up anyway. And the moment you wake up in the morning, he's already been plotting how to get you to waste that day, to blow it with anger or worry or fear or guilt or shame or depression or any other resentment or bitterness. He'll just try to get you all messed up. I've been reading this 9/11 report from the commission. Interesting reading. But as I read it, I thought, what are the parallels here between our battle, our spiritual battle against Satan? Now listen to this. Listen to this parallel. We learned about an enemy. This is what the committee reported, who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. That's exactly what the devil is.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question he's been asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Maybe you feel that way too. In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thank you so much for your support.
Now let's get back to today's lesson here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
Now the Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. We should care about each other. We're family. We're in God's family. And as brothers and sisters, I should defend you and you should defend me. And I help you stay on track and you help me stay on track. Now it says keep being concerned. Circle the word keep. That means not just once. You're vigilant. In a war, everybody has to take time on sentry duty. While everybody else is sleeping, somebody stays awake to make sure the enemy isn't crashing in. Now, since 9/11, we've all been a whole lot more vigilant for each other with terrorism and things like that. But did you know that you have an enemy far more destructive than terrorists? Oh, yeah. You have a personal enemy, and he hates your guts, and he wants to defeat you. His name is Satan. And Satan wants to mess up your life. Satan wants to bring problems in your life. Satan wants to ruin your relationships. He wants to hurt you as bad as he can. Now, why would he do that? Because he can't hurt God. See, Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to hurt God, but he can't. When you can't hurt somebody, what do? You go after their children. If you couldn't get to me, you'd go after my wife or my kids. Satan can't hurt God. So what does he do? He tries to hurt God's children. And he doesn't care what it'll take, how badly you get hurt. He wants to mess you up anyway. And the moment you wake up in the morning, he's already been plotting how to get you to waste that day, to blow it with anger or worry or fear or guilt or shame or depression or any other resentment or bitterness. He'll just try to get you all messed up. I've been reading this 9/11 report from the commission. Interesting reading. But as I read it, I thought, what are the parallels here between our battle, our spiritual battle against Satan? Now listen to this. Listen to this parallel. We learned about an enemy, this is what the committee reported, who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. That's exactly what the devil is. The enemy rallies broad support by redressing political grievance, but its hostility toward us and our values is limitless. And Satan's hatred of you is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious pluralism. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets. Collateral damage is not in its lexicon. Satan doesn't care who gets hurt. He just wants to hurt. It says, we learned that we did not understand how grave this threat could be, and so we did not adjust our plans and practices to deter or defeat it. Boy, if that doesn't describe most Christians. We don't realize the war we're in, and so we don't make any plans to handle temptation. It says, now the test before us now is to sustain the unity of purpose. I could have written this stuff, okay? The test before us is to sustain the unity of purpose and meet the challenges now confronting us. We need to design a balanced strategy for the long haul to attack terrorists while at the same time protecting ourselves against future attack. Think about that. They say, we not only have to protect ourselves, we have to go after them. And that's what it says in the Bible. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Gates are defensive. He says, you're going after the devil, not vice versa. Now, let me tell you something. When Satan attacks you, he doesn't come in a little red costume with pointy, you know, things and a pitchfork and say, boo. How does Satan mess up your life? Through habits you can't break, the hurts that you won't let go of and you hold on to resentment, through hang-ups you can't change in your life, through problems, through circumstances, through relationships that break your heart and hurt you. And he always works around through others. And most of the Christians are defeated. They live in defeat. Why? Because we try to fight him on our own. And that's stupid. You're never going to win against the devil on your own. You need other people who will watch out for you and help you. Look at this next verse, Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. That's a small group. He says, you know, you watch out for each other. Last year, about this time, I walked across a maximum security prison yard in Northern California. 2,000 inmates in that field and in that yard, and I walked across it with no guard protecting me, no gun, no weapon, no body armor, but just myself. And I'm walking across, and I was not afraid. Why? Because I had a group of other inmates, about 30 of them, who were Christians, in front of me, behind me, and on either side of me. And if anybody wanted to get at me, they were going to have to get through these guys who had these tattoos that said, Mom and Jesus, you know? And there's no way I felt worried, because these guys were there to protect me. Now, here's my question. Is there anybody watching your backside? Anybody who's watching out for your spiritual welfare? Do you have anybody close like that? Are you in a small group where that group of guys, if you're a guy, or women, if you're a woman, who are saying, you know what, we're there when you're going through the tough time. We're not going to let you get discouraged. We're not going to let you get depressed. We're not going to let you get worried, because we're going to be here with you. If you don't have anybody like that, I pity you. You've got a big bullseye on your back for Satan. Say, Here's a loner. They're not connected. They're not in a group. You know, I know this is hard to believe, but when I was young, I was a lifeguard for 3 summers. Actually, they fired me because every time I see a hand, I go, yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Is there another? Oh, yes, many are raising their hands. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. I made that part up. But it was a lifeguard, and everybody knows you never go swimming by yourself in the ocean. You might catch a riptide or something. You never go by yourself. Did you read about this kid? He was an experienced climber. He's climbing a mountain, slipped and fell into a ravine, and got his arm caught. And he couldn't get out, and he would have died there because he was by himself. He thought he knew enough to go it on his own. And the only way he broke free was he had to cut his own arm off or die. Even the pros need a buddy.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life.
This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.